Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined, dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
Yes, indeed, we are back at it, welcoming your real estate-related questions by phone or by text. We've cleared the lines if you want to call in your question, 651-989-9226. If it's easier, send your text, your real estate-related text messages, 81807, 81807. Chris and Andy are here, and along with a familiar face, we'll be introduced in just a moment. How was your week since we've spoken?
It's still going. I'm taking texts as we right during the introduction.
I mean, you're doing
trying
business.
To get a deal done.
You're doing business while we're
yeah,
on
we're
air.
Trying.
Okay,
yeah, but it is. It's gone. It's still going.
Yeah,
we've. Very well.
I've been really busy too. We've had a couple hit the market this week. We've several offers been accepted. So. Market's moving good, but I still think the general consensus of the average person out there is more worried about where they're going, Denny. It's not the problem selling right now. It's the problem is where am I going to go? Am I satisfied with the value of what I'm buying? And that's where the hesitation lies.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that the agents that are working with their clients that are finding the, hey, where we're going, or help people visualize, you know, what they can make this property into so they feel good, so they can make the decision and move forward. But it's probably the key. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you guys have addressed this in the past as far as talking about a career in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And we joke that Chris is, you know, working. He's multitasking. He's
yeah.
doing it. But truly, you guys, in many ways, work 7 days a week. I mean, you
oh, yeah.
work a lot.
Absolutely.
Real estate agents do because I think you have to.
Well, our daughters are both playing in a volleyball at the Minneapolis Convention Center. So
yep.
we were there both at 8 o'clock. But before that, I left at 6 a.m. to go turn on some lights at a property so we could get those on. I had to get a sign on a property.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's, yeah, you're going all the time. But, you know, on the other end, too, I mean, then there's times that you can still waiting for them, but there's times that you can kind of get
well,
away.
Yeah, no, Monday morning, 10 o'clock, you want to go play golf, let's do it. Everybody else is getting
yeah.
into the office
yeah.
and stressing out, and that's when we
so
can
So there
take
are
the
trade-offs.
Time.
There are trade-offs.
Of course, yeah, just like any job.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
We were going to jog to the studio, but we thought so we could actually talk. We took a lift instead.
We'll probably post that on our Facebook.
Well,
page
you needed to research.
We packed into a little Malibu. Denny was like a clown show. The two of us are snuggled back in the back seat of this little lift, and the car's scraping as it's driving.
What a sight!
I think if you two jog over, we better have an ambulance follow right behind.
Yeah,
you.
That voice belongs to who?
Well, my buddy Mark.
Who invited this guy?
Yeah, who's lives near Blueberry? Yeah. No, our buddy said if there was a hot dog stand halfway, we'd probably make it. But
that's funny. That was the voice of Pat Remick.
This is real estate.
Yeah. Yeah, Pat Remick.
Pat Remick, Mr. Green.
Thank you guys for inviting me back.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to talk about landscaping because that's been a big thing. We had three listings that we've been waiting to get on because of this darn weather. And it has to do with the water and lake. And, you know, you want green and blue as much as you can to be able to make that property look as good as you can. And it's funny because we waited and then like a bunch of other people got their houses on the market too. But we've been talking about that.
Well,
that once this weather starts breaking,
exactly.
people are going to get on. But it's hard to get it ready.
Well, and the thing is too, now is such a critical time to get product put down with pre-emergence or whatever to help control weeds that will be coming up here shortly. Kind of the rule of thumb is to get fertilization down before the ground temperature gets to be about 60 degrees, which is typically is when the lilacs will bloom. So get it down with pre-emergence down will help control broadleaf weeds and maybe some dandelions and things like that. So good time to be getting on top of things to make it look better.
And you need to get on that before. I mean, if people are thinking about listing in June and July, you don't do that stuff in June and July. You do it now so it's ready for that time.
It's a big impact for what's going to look good later.
Yep, and that's why Andy and I always talk about, you know, it's never too early to have us in and to the house, because those are kind of things that we talk about. And a lot of things is trying to solve those problems before those problems and issues come up. Mm-hmm. And that usually is. I mean, if you spend all the time just on the inside getting everything ready, but then they walk up and they're, you know, they're tripping over a step and they're seeing that the around the front door, you know, isn't painted right, or the door handle doesn't open, you know, or the trees aren't trimmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that gives them the first impression of, okay, what did they cover up?
Well, and I've always said, too, that you need a fresh set of eyes to look at your house, because you get so used to walking in your front door, you don't even see that the door needs to be painted.
Right.
Or the trees are hanging too low, or you got that crab tree that's growing over the sidewalk. A fresh set of eyes, whether it's the real estate team or a landscape contractor, that can help point those things out.
I tell you what, we have callers coming in and texters, too. Let's do that. Let's go back to the phones. Oscar is calling from Pine City. Oscar, you're on CCO. Hello, hello. All right. Listening to the radio, we'll put Oscar back on hold and continue on with this discussion. So when you listen to the phone, not to the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we can listen to that text message, too. We'll throw that out there. We got. What do you think of We Buy Ugly Houses?
What do I think?
Andy, what do you think about We Buy Ugly Houses?
Oh, it's just another business in the marketplace. I mean, they're providing a service of buying a house that they're preconditioning you mentally to understand that you have an ugly house by saying We Buy Ugly Houses. So you're already admitting that by calling them. And so what happens is the psychology there's a lot to that. When they get there, they are basically buying a house that they can add an improvement to make a fair profit. And they have a very viable spot in the marketplace right now, I really do believe. And so you're seeing a lot of other versions of that, the guaranteed offers, you're seeing whatever. And a lot of those different ways of wholesaling a house, as I call it, are feeding back to that, quote, flipping market, where the buyers are buying the houses at a price where they can buy it to flip it. So that's all.
And I think it's important, too, that you talk to a couple different people. I mean, if you just bring in We Buy Ugly Houses and they give you an offer and you take it, mm-hmm. I think you're going to be missing out quite a bit.
Well, in this kind of a market, I'm not take that brand specifically away, because they're a very well-known contractor, great company. But that industry right now is struggling because the economy is too good. And so what happens is, it's like, why would I give something away at a wholesale price if I can literally sell it at retail and have people fighting over it in the same instant offer? Heck, let me list your house. I'll get you an offer in 15 minutes if you list it at the right price. I mean, it's all a psychological play on what they do or don't want to be involved with. Most agents I know in today's market can offer very similar products like that are, you know, as far as like a guaranteed offer or a wholesaler offer. Chris and I both have guys that buy houses all the time from us and give very fair prices too. So,
you know, I get a lot of times that when I come over to a house, I say, oh, you want us to spend all this money and kind of getting it ready? And I said, no, I want you to spend money to be able to maximize your equity.
Yeah.
And not just to spend money for the fun of it, but if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Right.
We're doing a house right now that I think it's really interesting, because it's kind of like, you know what, I don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I'll take less. But there's a couple things that I'm telling you. I said, there was carpet in three bedrooms, okay?
Yeah.
And it was old carpet. Well, underneath is hardwood floors. And I said, it's just worth it to rip all that stuff out.
Right.
You know, and at least they can see now the potential. Mm-hmm. And so that makes a flipper or an investor, or even someone that is trying to buy a house and trying to stay, you know, and get a good deal that they can fix themselves, will see more value in that, where it didn't cost us much money to do that.
Right.
But ultimately, it's that person's decision.
Well, and, you know, usually that, you know, and not that this is owned by any slogan by anybody, but the guarantee, usually the only guarantee is that the offer will be low.
No. Okay. All right. Let's bring in Oscar in this conversation in Pine City. Go ahead, Oscar.
I told you the story. I got this old two-story house with radiators, and I'd like to put in a central, air conditioner that would be not noisy like the ones in the window.
Yep. Are you thinking of if it's a good okay.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's more directed to a home improvement question than it is resale value. But you answer it as if it was resale.
Let's talk about resale.
Yeah, but
well, first of all,
question.
With radiator, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have the ducts, you know, so it's not like you don't get central air and you put on condenser, but you can do that in the ceiling.
The drop down units, absolutely. Yeah, those are great. And they also, my brother lives in a converted mansion over in the, they took it and made it into condos on each floor, right? And so they have high velocity. AC units where they're actually these little pipes that they can hide and sneak through the floor systems, and then they blow high volumes of air through them, and you'd think they'd whistle or what. They don't. It's actually a fantastically cool way to do it.
It is doable. If you have a gas, hot water, heat, it is doable to
And I think, Chris, what do you think? I think it's well worth the investment because most people love to take the really hot days off their list and the really cold days off their list. So having good heat, having good AC when you need it is important for resale.
Yeah, and you know, radiator heat is typically a cleaner, better heat that most people say.
Right, yep.
But usually it's a detriment because they don't have central air. So if you do that and you have the best heating system and now I got central air,
best of both
it's like
worlds,
a win-win.
Right. All right. We need to take a quick break. We'll have more Real Estate Show coming up. If you have that kind of a question related to real estate, call it in or text it in. 651-989-9226 is the phone number. The text number, meanwhile, is 81807 for your real estate questions. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on A3OWCC. Call it in, your question, or text it in related to real estate, 651-989-9226. Text, meanwhile, is 81807. We have a bunch of those guys, too, of the text messages. But Bob in Prior Lake is first up here on the phone here. Bob, good morning. You're on CCO.
Yeah, good morning. I'm a Prior Lake guy, and Chris has some listings in my neighborhood. And my question that I was going to ask him is, why don't more people have their home appraised prior to just setting the listing price, and then you're in wonderland as to what the appraisal is going to come in with? You know, wouldn't that be a more intelligent starting point, as long as, you know, like the appraisers can't know the deal, you know, the new rules? And you can't pick your own appraiser like you used to be able to. So why don't more people do that?
Thanks, what do you guys think?
That's a great question.
We'll start with Andy first.
I love it because I think that, you know, our industry, like it or not, is dominated with a lot of people that are new to the industry, and they're yes men and yes women that are saying, sure, I'll list it for that. And they're not putting a lot of, you know, research behind the value of the property before they list it. So in that situation, you do have some people over listing houses that are 20, 30,000 over what they should be because the customer's asking them to. It doesn't mean that it's right. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just what I think sometimes happens. Now, a more experienced listing agent spends the time to research exactly every comp they can, because our job as a listing agent is to maximize the amount of dollars we can get somebody to pay for that house, which sometimes is above an appraised value because of the view, because of the amenities, because of the brand, or the specifically the company that maybe did the upgrades does a better job, may, you know, have a following, you know?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, first of all, an appraisal is typically used for a bank to be able to justify what they're borrowing a customer, okay? So there's, to me, sometimes when you get an appraisal and it's not, like, proven or it hasn't sold, they typically come in at a lower price. I mean, a lot. I was just talking to a guy at the volleyball thing, and he was like, oh, my gosh, my appraisal came in less than my assessed value. You know, and I said, well, the assessed value doesn't tell you what it's worth. I mean, the appraisal's justifying it based on what those houses are, but they're in an area that you're not going to get over a certain price. But when you do get over a certain price, and so there's houses that are like that, that say it's, you know, the houses aren't going over $750, but theirs is $850 all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, and from a realtor standpoint, we're out there, we're looking at how are these people going to justify it? Okay, it's on acreage, it's on a lake. Okay, so maybe it's in a certain town that's not bringing those values, but right over in the next town, hey, it is. And maybe it's a Rambler, and maybe it's a main level, so maybe they're not looking for schools. And so they're going to justify that, and then that's what you have to help the appraiser understand, mm-hmm. because that's what the appraiser is going to do. We talk about Prior Lake and on the lake. We ended up selling the largest house that was on Prior Lake. There's nothing else that could appraised next to it, so it would have said it was lower, but we know what you can get. And so then they used Minnetonka, know, appraisal, you know, houses from Minnetonka, because they said, hey, you know what, this is in a realm by itself, and this is something that maybe someone would have gotten to Minnetonka.
Well, it's a free market. I mean, that's what free markets do. They, if you have a better marketing campaign, you create more momentum, and somebody wants to pay more for that house, and they're paying cash, God bless America. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. But on the other hand, if it's a bank that this is somebody with 3.5% down, the bank's just trying to say, hey, listen, we're giving this person a break anyway by giving them a loan and insuring it for this with 3.5% down. Let's just make sure that if things go south, we don't go too far south. You know what I mean? That's a, just all it is a safety blanket or a net for the bank.
Here's a question for Pat Remick. What landscaping rock/mulch has the best effect when selling?
Well, that's probably a pretty good question. I think a lot of it will play into it as far as what other amenities.
Whatever's
they
the
have.
Most expensive, right, Pat?
Well, I like that. Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Something imported and heavy.
Yep. Hard to get.
Yeah.
But I think it'll play into, you know, what the rest of the place looks like. I mean, I obviously these dyed mulches will bring a lot of validity to the landscape beds. But maybe you got a great fire pit or a great outdoor kitchen that you don't necessarily need to put rock or mulch down to accent. But.
Right.
Well, I talk about when I was thinking about that, I'm like, okay, there's rock and mulch, but I'll tell you what's even better is like complete perfect lines around, like when you use that little cutter machine, yep, I don't know what
edger.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, that edger that goes along the driveway yep. and then cuts around those things. I mean, that shows more than
what's
I mean,
detailed, and yeah. it shows the level of detail well, you put to
and
something.
You don't get
like that.
You get rock and mulch everywhere,
right.
But you don't get stuff like that.
I have a combo of the two, just a quick comment. I have rock and I have the mulch. The mulch has to constantly be ever dressed, whatever. My rock still is my rock. It looks great. It's still – you just got to clean it out. You know what I mean? So it's how much maintenance do you want to do? Because I think sometimes the mulch is a lot less to have it installed, but then there's more of a maintenance aspect to it to keep it looking really bright and nice.
There's good both ways. I mean, the rock, like you said, doesn't need to be refreshed all the time where the mulch does, but they both bring value, no question.
Good point.
All right. We need to take a break. We have another half hour of the show to go to, so don't go away. Call in your real estate questions or send a text if that's easier. And welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy and Pat in studio. Especially if you have any kind of a landscape type question, this is your chance to ask Pat that particular type of question, either by phone or by text. I see one line is open, and you can use it if you like. 651-989-9226. Text, and we have a bunch of those, 81807. Want to grab one there, Chris?
Yeah, we do. I'm waiting for my stager designer to call me back on what are the popular paint colors this year. I hear them all the time. I know there's a pewter gray, and there's another one that we use all the time. I just can't think of it, but I should have it here by the end. Is it harder to sell a split entry, and especially one with outdoor pump systems? I'm not sure what they mean by outdoor pump systems, but
is that like a fountain or something?
Well, I would guess it means an outdoor
septic
well.
Or something.
An outdoor well.
An outdoor well, maybe that's above the freeze, you know, so they have to insulate it in a box. That's kind of old school, but usually they can move that into a basement or they'll put it inside the house where they put the pressure tank.
But as far as a split entry, I mean, a lot of people like
splits all the time.
You typically get more space for your money. So,
you know, I've seen split entries where they're on big acreage where the homeowner would rather have a big ranch style house, one level living or a two story. But no, splits are great. I mean, they're seven steps. You're up the stairs and, you know.
Absolutely. Want to get another one?
Yeah. This person has a 1970 split entry on 1 acre in Delano. Getting it ready to go on the market. It has an attached garage, but the detached garage burnt down this fall. Is it worth it to rebuild the detached garage for marketability?
Boy, that's a great question.
So it's on an acre.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's out. I think that's an advantage to be able to have that. And obviously, if it burned down, you're probably getting the money back for it. Right. I would put it back up.
I would
too. I would
sell
too.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. And then put rock or mulch around it, Pat. Which one?
I would not put the garage up. I just put all landscaping around it.
He wants a fire pit in there. So if you need a fire pit.
In memory of the previous garage waterfalls.
Okay. Does a real estate agent get frustrated with the seller when they try to put their home on the market at a lower cost than it might be appraised in order to sell the home more quickly? So they're asking us if we get frustrated if the seller wants to put it at a lower cost. And, you know, every seller is different, you know. And that's – I think that's the interesting thing is that sometimes there's marketing plans that go along with prices. Yeah. And there might be reasons they're doing that. And, I mean, I know we had a house, this was probably 5-6 years ago, that we intentionally went high the mm-hmm. fall before mm-hmm. and then came back and kind of still went a little high. But where the price was and then where it ended up,
yeah.
you know, they thought it was a good deal and it sold right away and it mm-hmm. sold for more than full price.
Right.
So there's different marketing things and it's up to each seller what they want to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that is a strategy, you know, pricing it below so that everybody comes in and recognizes the value and then you get a bidding war, which can be fun. A lot more work, but it can be fun.
Text number is 81807 if that's easier for you, or call us, 651-989-9226.
Cement or asphalt for a driveway and resale?
What do you think?
We're going with Pat. The guy knows a lot about real estate, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But
hard not to like concrete.
Well, the good thing about asphalt, though, is they're in the middle of winter. As soon as you scrape the snow off, that asphalt will heat up quicker and it'll melt off whatever's there, mm-hmm. especially if you keep it sealed and a nice black coating on it.
Especially when you're in a state that gets snow in May.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
No. But, yeah, obviously asphalt's less expensive. Concrete is typically the value is better,
yeah.
And people look at that more. But I think it all depends kind of what house you're in.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a $250,000 house and you're deciding between asphalt and cement, I'd do asphalt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're in a $1 million place, I mean, you might want to consider that.
Well, absolutely, it's like a high performance car, right? And so you look at that and you say, okay, do I want to put the upgraded tires on there that match the level of the car? That's kind of like the same thing with the house with the amenities. I agree with that, but I also have seen a movement towards downsizers that like to have the luxury amenities that they had in their previous larger homes. And so, like I said, if you've got the budget, I'd do the concrete, especially if you're moving trailers or heavier vehicles around on it. It works great. But if you're like Chris and I have seen it where people flip houses and the driveway's horrible, they'll always do asphalt. And I don't think they get penalized because it's asphalt. Let me put it that way.
Right. Yep. True. Okay. We got a long one here. Okay. Hello. I'm responsible for a house located on a piece of lake property located 35 minutes north of Twin Cities. I've started to renovate the house on the property since it was a hoarder's house. Also, nothing had been done to it for the last 25 years. I was told by a real estate agent that it should probably be bulldozed. The piece of property next door sold for over $250,000 with the cabin. The new buyers demolished it. Suggestions on what I should do. I missed something. Okay.
Told by a real estate agent that it should be move-in ready in order to receive the most financially. Now other people are saying it doesn't matter what you do to the house, since the buyers will probably bulldoze it. The piece of property next door sold for over $250,000 with the cabin. The new buyers demolished it.
That
suggestions of what I should do.
Yeah. You got to remember, our text messages come in.
They're not in order.
Yeah, they are out of order. So you got to kind of do a puzzle.
Uh-huh.
Denny's better at puzzles.
Not really.
but anyways, so there's a great question. You know, hey, are you going to do anything to that property to kind of make it look good beyond the? It's on the lake, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this. I think it was last week or the week before. Remember,
yeah.
I talked
yeah.
about that, where you have a property that, hey, just bulldoze it. Remember, if you bulldoze it, you've just knocked out a whole bunch of your market. And if you mm-hmm. can do a little to that and clean it up and get it out, at least you have the bulldozer people thinking about, gosh, someone else might buy that.
Right.
It'll probably drive your price.
Well, or think about this too, Chris. I mean, if you just have a property that's being sold for the maximum amount of, you know, that they can get, getting that house to be, you know, compliant with financing is the key. So talk to your agent, talk to a lender and just say, hey, what can we do to this house to make sure that we can get a loan on this home through your group? And then now you've made another, you know, 20-30% of the market available to your house. So a lot of people don't have cash, even though you think they would. That financing with a cabin on that, it's a lot more affordable than as a vacant lot. So
you bet. Yep. Okay. And then who pays closing costs on the sale of a home? Is it split? Oh, geez, where'd that go now? Is it split between the buyer and seller? What are the cost of different items in the closing? So typically in Minnesota, when you're selling a house, the commission is typically paid by the seller.
Mm-hmm.
So that's taken care of, and they have their own set of closing costs, which are typically around 1% additional, okay? So if you didn't have a realtor, it would probably be around 1%. If on the buy side, if they have to get a loan, they typically have closing costs to be able to get that financing. Now, sometimes they negotiate getting the seller to pay that for them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say, example, if someone came in and said, hey, we'll pay you $400,000, but we want you to pay $10,000 towards our closing costs, you really just got an offer for $390,000.
Yep, net. Yep.
Yeah. So hopefully.
But some people don't think of it that way, Chris, and that's why we do what we do. I think that's why people, got $400,000 for an offer and the closing costs are buried in there and people don't know the difference, and it is negotiable. So you don't have to pay it. You can negotiate that.
Okay. 651-989-9226 if you want to call in your question. Otherwise, send a text, 81807.
You know, I was thinking about that lake property, too, and thinking about landscaping, since we do have Pat Remick here. But especially if it's going to a lake, if it hasn't been taken care of for 25 years, more than likely the foliage hasn't been taken care of either. And that sometimes can make a monster difference.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing up the trees and everything, can you do that now?
Many trees you probably can, but you got things like oaks and things that are susceptible to insect and disease. I would definitely get somebody involved that can help you identify what you can and cannot do before you start doing it. But a lot of things like shrubbery and things like that, you can take down quite substantially to a point that it's going to look like they're a young plant again. So, but it's always good to ask people that do it for a living.
Andy, how do you do that? I mean, I'm a big proponent of getting trees and stuff shaped up and what do you call it when you take all those
raise
branches?
Them.
Yeah, you raise them up because you get so much more light. I got a great example that in Minnetonka, we sold a house. I was the buyer's agent on it. These people went in a year. I came back a year later, and they raised all those. The house totally lit up, and they had a huge view of a lake. And I'm telling you, the value went up $50,000.
But you also got to be careful. Some trees shouldn't be raised up too far, like maybe spruce trees. I've seen people that raise them up to make them look like an apple tree. They're not supposed to be that way. So before you take them off, because they won't grow back, so please ask somebody that is in the industry what would be correct and what wouldn't be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people too, though, just like them to look a little cleaner.
Yep,
and I've got a couple of those, you know, pine trees where the whole stem looks like it's dead, and then on the very end, it's got a little green little needles, and you don't want to trim it off, but it also looks kind of tough.
Yep, better off to probably take that off, but it's good to ask somebody that does that for a living.
You say somebody who knows, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take a quick break. We have more show to come. If you have a real estate question, a landscape question, call it in or text it in here on our Real Estate Show. Good morning. Welcome back to our Real Estate Show here on CCO Radio in the Twin Cities, 40 degrees. We still have time for your real estate questions, either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807 for Chris and Andy and Pat. Pat Remick's in studio with the guys today.
We're going to hit a few more text questions.
Sure.
We live in a condo and thinking of going from a two-story one to a one level. What is the color of paint to use inside to get the most value? I think whatever you do on the paint, it's neutral, lighter gray, lighter beige, but keep it all the same throughout the whole place. It'll make the home appear a lot bigger if you do it all as one.
Well, and I'm telling you, let's say you spend a couple $100 to have an interior designer come out there and give you a consultation, worth every penny. I mean, those people are dialed into what they can do. They know how to maximize everything. It's merchandising is a big part of selling right now, and having people visualize what rooms can be used for. I'd like we've talked about this, Chris, get that stager in there or that interior decorator that knows what to do. And if you describe the job up front, they know what to do. It doesn't have to cost you $5,000. I mean, it can be hundreds of dollars.
Here's the other thing too, Andy. You come out there and have it all repainted, look nice, and put the same stuff back on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a waste of time painting.
Right.
You know, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to maximize that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's opportunities to be able to put stuff in the right places to be able to make it look as big as possible.
Right.
So, you were going to say something about.
Well, no, we were kind of on the break. We were talking, talking landscaping here with Pat, and their crews have the ability to lay these lines when they're mowing the grass where it looks like you're out on the professional ball field. And I was asking questions about maintenance with equipment. And I mean, what's important this time of the year, even if I'm a do-it-myself or, at home, I know you guys have all the big professional equipment to do it really awesome, but what about a guy like me that has a rider? I mean, what's important for me to maintain on some of that stuff?
Well, this time of year, it's good to get the thing ready for the season, put new oil in it, make sure the battery's charged up, the tires are good. But the main thing with mowing, and some people don't think that this is important, but it's critical, you got to keep your blades sharp. Most people never sharpen blades. Matter of fact, most people don't even know where they're at. But you take them off, get them sharpened, yes. And it's incredibly much more efficient on the mower, and it's much more healthy for the grass when you have nice sharp
blades. You're not yanking those blades off, are you? I mean, no. The blades of grass.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Instead of beating it, to the point of tearing it off the top with a nice sharp blades, it just cuts off. And the motor, it takes a lot less motor power to cut that grass. And it's so much nicer. It just does a great job.
Mulch is a little better as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know Pat's totally referring to me when he's talking about this. But anyways, I'm going to ask him because I said this is what happens to mowers because this texter says it too. Why are the roots on my tree coming to the surface? Mm. They're all spreading all over the yard and they're huge. And I typically tend to hit them when I'm mowing.
Yep. Well, and that's a typical situation for like maple trees that they like the surface roots because they're looking for moisture in many cases. Some of that's just hereditary. And that's a problem that you're going to have. It's nothing you can do. You can't really landscape over it.
You fill dirt all over it?
Well, you can. There's no question. But it's usually a tree throws a lot of shade, and to make grass grow in a shaded area is pretty tough to do. So it's just something maybe you can mulch over the top of. You shouldn't be getting too close to a tree anyhow with a mower. Maybe mulch it and do things. But try not to damage the roots. That's how it takes its energy up.
Good point.
You know, we were talking on the garden show early this morning. Pat already knows this stuff. But when you mow... they've discovered that if you cut the grass, if you set that blade deck to cut 4 inches, so leave 4 inches of the lawn, you don't have to use so much herbicide.
Yep.
It grows grass instead of weeds,
yep.
Basically.
And you know what's important, too, when you're cutting grass, people like to bag and get the grass clippings off. But to be honest, that grass that you're cutting off is very full of nutrients. So cutting it off and letting it decompose back into the grass – is a good thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, if your stucco home does not pass inspection, what are your options? What companies in the Twin Cities handle stucco repair? I got a great example because we just did one. Big walkout two-story. And it ended up being to take all the stucco off, replace it with LP siding and some stone in the front. It was $100,000. You know, in which to be able to do that. And on this particular one, the stucco test failed. Mm-hmm. All over the place. But what was interesting is once it all came off, there was only two spots on the whole house that kind of got affected. But what I found out was, this was a couple years back, is that it was the highest moisture content that we'd ever – that second highest moisture content that had ever been recorded in the last 200 years. And so that sits in there, and I think they were getting some false readings on it.
Oh.
So I said, you know, rip it apart from the inside first. If you see some bad spots, take out that sheetrock and then kind of see what you've got there. Because usually it's gone all the way through, or the studs have gone bye-bye. But
that stucco can be hundreds of years old and still performing, and it's holding moisture coming in from somewhere else, or not letting the moisture get out, for an example, because it's such a decent product. But you know, so what is your opinion, Chris, real quick, on so some of the older homes that are out there that have the all stucco, and let's say you pull the stucco off the back of the house and the sides of the house, and you do vinyl, or you do something that's a little more affordable than $100,000. Let's say you have a $15,000-$20,000 budget. Would you leave the front stucco because it still looks great and is performing, and then just do the vinyl around the backsides? Or what's your opinion on that?
I think we've always gotten past, if it's just stucco on the front, people don't think, all right, well, it's not as bad. It's only going to be $25,000,
right,
that we're going to have to, you know, it might be more because that's where the stone and stuff is. But I don't think it's bad with the stucco in the front if you have the sides and it's vinyl or or whatever other product. I don't think that's a bad thing.
I agree.
But it all depends on what style you're doing and how old that house is too.
Right.
Because the older houses, the stucco was great. There was just some areas that it just wasn't quite installed right.
Right.
And so moisture would get around it, and that's causing all the problems.
Mm-hmm. So here's a text that came in a bit ago. It says this: we've been in our house for over 40 years, have made many improvements to the outside of it, including a three-level deck that now needs to be replaced, refreshed. Does it make sense in a $250,000 house to put on a brand new $35,000 deck? That's what the appraisers seem to come in for replacement at this time. We considered one of the lower maintenance deck products, but that was even more expensive. Is there a return on this kind of maintenance?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, if you're going to sell, I mean, in that $250,000 price point,
that's hard to 12% of
spend
the
over
of the house?
10% of your house to be able to put on a deck.
Yeah,
I would shore up what you have there. Especially if you're going to be trying to sell, I think you'll get by better that way.
I've been shocked, though. I think, and that's a reality check of what's, labor costs and materials and you look at what decks do cost, and I mean, I think new construction-wise, you're seeing cedar decks going in at $65 to $70 a square foot, cedar, you know, and cedar rails, not including the stairs. The second you add stairs, you can add $3,000 to $5,000 just because stairs take a lot more labor, footings and everything else. But composites, I've seen them going for $80 to $85, you know, up as high as $90, depending on, you know, you can, if you do glass rails, you could spend even more than that per square foot.
For Mr. Lindis to talk to.
Yeah, him. Exactly. Yeah, call Andy.
For sure. Hey, and speaking of, you know, if you want to get a hold of Pat Remick or Andy or myself, we got a new site that brings you to it. It's andyandrooney.com.
It's one word,
andyandrooney.com.
Right? Yeah. No capitalization there. It's all lowercase, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So you can kind of get all the information that we've
just
talked
my
about.
I'm sure it's just my podcast. Name is lowercase. Rooney's all uppercase.
Yeah, mine's capitalized, all of them.
It's only actually, pictures
we
of
were,
Chris.
Actually, we were going to put them in there, but we decided to.
It's in kind of fluorescent paint, too.
Yeah, you'll find me on the third page in the bottom. Yeah.
Again, Pat, well, you can connect to all of our guests.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
through that website. All right, we got to run. It's good to see you, Pat.
You
Thanks
too.
Very
Thank
much, you.
You
guys. We'll see you. We're going to do another show next week, and we hope you join us then.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.